The Queen's Jewish Link presents the Jewish Living Podcast, the show that examines the many facets of Orthodox Jewish life. Here's your host, Izzo Zwirin.
We may be finally coming out of a pandemic, but it would seem that the damage has been done. Many here in the New York metropolitan area are vacating their homes in droves, and it's not just here. Many across the country are seeking better living conditions, and what better place to move than Eretz Yisrael? With a sudden increase in Aliyah interest, we thought it would be a good time to bring a new company to your attention with our guest today.
Hi, my name is Ariel Rachmanov. I am the co-founder of Aliyah Homes.
Ariel will help us comb through some of the specific areas of buying a home in Israel and how his company can help. All right, Ariel, thank you so much for joining me this week. I really appreciate taking the time. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yes, I am from Queens, New York. I've been living in New York since I was born. I went to high school in Virginia, in Yeshiva of Virginia. And I followed my Rosh Yeshiva to Israel. He and another Rav started Migdal HaTorah in Modi'in. And, you know, I've always had family in Israel. So when I went there, I felt attached to the country. And when I came back to America to learn in my Rosh Yeshiva's brother's yeshiva, where I am currently now, I felt that I still wanted something to do with Israel. And thank God I found something that can definitely fulfill my purpose in life.
All right. Well, I appreciate that background. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I am 26, turning 27 in a couple of months.
All right. Well, happy birthday in a couple of months. So let's talk about why you're here today, to talk about Aliyah Homes. So first of all, what is Aliyah Homes?
That's a very good question. And Aliyah Homes is a startup that started during the beginning of COVID, actually. I think around June, July of last year, 2020. And Aliyah Homes is a subsidiary of Keller Williams. We are a company that helps Olim make Aliyah in a seamless manner. We provide an opportunity where they can have a stress-free Aliyah.
All right, so that sounds like an appetizing thing to a lot of people, especially those who are interested in making Aliyah, which has grown probably a lot during COVID. For those who have made Aliyah that might be listening, there's probably a lot of stresses that go into it. Can you talk a little bit about what those stresses are and how Aliyah Homes helps to alleviate some of those stresses?
Absolutely. I'm going to start from before we get on the plane, because that's you know where we primarily focus on. When someone is applying, through Nefesh B'Nefesh, to start their Aliyah process, the challenge is really, what do I do? How do I prepare for Aliyah? Meaning, let's say I need to sell my house and transfer the funds to Israel. How do I do that? When do I do that? Timing is important. Meaning, if I'm approved, to go into Israel, and I sell my house, well, what if I don't have a place to live in Israel? I mean, how do I find an apartment or another home in Israel? What about a real estate attorney? How much can I be approved to get a loan there? I don't know the culture. I mean, who do I speak? How do I find someone who speaks English and understands the American culture? How do they even go about it? That's where we come in. We provide those services to them.
All right. So what exactly do you do to help them get through all those hurdles?
Yeah. So, we connect them with anyone they need, in order to streamline their Aliyah process. I'll give you a concrete example. Let's say you have an individual who is thinking about making Aliyah. right? I would sit down with them and determine what their needs are and determine when they want to make Aliyah. And we would come up with a structured plan on and creating a check, a list, and checking off everything on the list before we even put their house on the market, and before they get there. I mean, it could be, they may need a mover, an international mover.
And you provide this checklist. It's not something that like they come and say, "Hey, here's all the things that we have." But you have like a standardized checklist that people are going to need.
Yes, and it's always morphing because, like I said, we started this in the beginning of COVID, and thank God I have a few clients, and one of them is about to make Aliyah, my first one actually.
Very nice.
My partner, Michael Horowitz, who lives in Boca Raton area, him and I have been working on many great ways on educating people who want to make Aliyah. We're gonna be having a training program, YouTube. We're thinking about having our own podcast. We would love to have you on.
Yeah. All right. So before we go into more specific details, how does Aliyah Homes make their revenue? Like, where are you? Like, you're a for-profit organization. You're not here. You're providing a service and you're expecting to get paid. So people are going to be like, well, why should I go to Aliyah Homes? Why can't I take care of this myself? Or am I getting charged a fee for your services?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that question. Because I think when we first spoke several months ago, the idea was, oh, we'll just sell your house in America and then we'll just connect you with an agent in Israel and boom, we'll just coordinate the entire process. But then it kind of morphed because that's not really what we do. We're not a real estate company. We're an Aliyah company. It just happens to be that real estate is a detail within the Aliyah process. And yes, that is how we make our money. We do make money on the sale of their home in the US. We Keller Williams, thank God, is in all 50 states and 50 other regions in the world. Israel, one of them. We have 24 offices in Israel. And we make our money through referrals. Meaning if I have a client in Chicago, let's say. I am not licensed in Chicago. I'm licensed in New York. My partner's licensed in Florida. But how do we make our money from our client in Chicago? We would refer them an agent who we already know and built a relationship with that they can monitor the transaction, and they are there to not provide exclusively their real estate needs, but to also provide their Aliyah needs because they are on this Aliyah Homes team that is primarily there to cater to their Aliyah needs, not just their real estate needs.
Okay, interesting. So, would it work in reverse? So, if a person in Chicago contacts a Keller Williams agent, and they're looking to make Aliyah, the seller, not the agent, and would the agent then bring you on board as well to help out in Israel? Does that work both ways?
I love that you asked that question because one of our business models was to also include other agents not within Keller Williams.
Okay.
That we can there we already have a system in place where they can totally be on board. I mean, there is a it's like another referral fee.
Right. So you're not only helping refer your clients to a Keller Williams agent, but you're making inroads with other you're not exclusively Keller Williams, I
Not
guess.
exclusive.
Okay, great.
Yeah. They're paying for access. They're paying for access of information.
The seller is not really paying anything extra that they would normally with any other real estate agent, but they are getting these additional services from you that you can take care of their transition to Israel, correct?
Exactly.
Okay, so it's not an added fee; it's just the same fee that they'd be paying in any
It's the
other
same
way.
fee.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about specifically mortgages in Israel, like buying a house in Israel. Things that people might not be aware of. So first of all, are mortgages like if I want to buy a house here, people who grew up here, people who have been doing research here, there's a million resources on how mortgages work in America. Is there any difference between the mortgage, how mortgages work in America versus how they work in Israel?
Yeah, there are some differences. And I do want to preface before I say anything. I am definitely not a licensed lender in Israel.
Okay.
And I am not a licensed lender in New York or in America. So I will preface that, you know, we should consult with professionals. But based off of the research that I've done, one difference is if you are not a citizen in Israel, right? And if you're looking to take out a mortgage, they will give you 50%, assuming you qualify, they will give you 50% of the value of the home.
Okay.
Whereas if, let's say you have a spouse who's a citizen, mm-hmm. they may give you 60%. And if you're a citizen there, you know, both of you are citizens, it's up to around 75%. So there are differences.
Interesting. So government does play a role in this as opposed to just your loan. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any surprises that buyers should be aware of that differ in Israel than in America? One example that the more I talk to people, the more the surprises, like appliances don't come with the home. Yeah. I guess now with the advent of HGTV and they go international and they like, it's a European thing that the appliances don't come with the home. But is there anything kind of like that, in that ilk, that that American homeowners are used to, that aren't really there in Israel?
Yeah, be clear with how many bedrooms you want.
Okay.
Because in America, when you say three bedrooms, it means three bedrooms and a living room.
Right.
In Israel, three bedrooms means two bedrooms and a living room.
Interesting. Three bedrooms means three rooms that aren't a kitchen or a bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And do you know if there's any like more hot areas in Israel right now that versus areas that might not be as affordable? Like what are the leading possibilities for Americans? Like where are Americans moving right now?
Yerushalayim, Beit Shemesh.
Well, Yerushalayim is a big place. It's like the biggest in Israel. So like specific neighborhoods?
Baca is one of them, the old city.
Yeah, when I think of affordability, I think of the old city.
well, are you asking affordability or popular?
Okay, let's go. Well, popular people will probably know. Let's try affordability.
Okay, affordability. That's a good question. So if you really want to conserve your money, I would suggest living in Judea and Samaria. Like one of my rabbis from Migdal, Rabbi Uri Pilichowski, his wife is the mayor of Mizpah Yericho, and I interviewed her and him on my Aliyah Homes Facebook page, and she was saying how they're already starting to build 500 homes in Mizpah Yericho, and you could get a nice beautiful home with a beautiful view for in dollars around $350,000 to $450,000.
Oh, wow. Okay. And geographically, where is Mizpah Yericho?
It is...
I'm looking at Google Maps
20
right
minutes,
now.
Yeah, 20 minutes away from Yerushalayim.
It looks like it's 20 minutes east of Yerushalayim. It is over the Green Line, in case that is something that you are worried about.
Right.
Okay. It's dead east of Yerushalayim. Okay.
Right. Malé Mechmas as well.
Which is where?
It's also over the Green Line.
Okay.
And also my colleagues, my associates in Israel, I work with Home in Israel. They're KW in Netanya, and they've been helping people make Aliyah from South Africa for 20 years already.
Oh, wow.
They definitely have the experience on the international level, and they've been telling me that if people, the government is encouraging Jews to move to the north. So there are, and I don't know the details of this, but there are tax breaks if, you know, we can bring a community in the north.
Interesting.
Northern Israel, yeah.
All right, so you just mentioned organizations that you're working with. So let's go into that. Yeah. Obviously, when people think of Aliyah, the first organization that they think of is Nefesh B'Nefesh. Mm-hmm. So if you could tell us about your relationship with Nefesh B'Nefesh or what you can do that Nefesh B'Nefesh doesn't do, let's start with that.
Yeah, so good question. So we are not officially partners with Nefesh B'Nefesh. I don't think Nefesh B'Nefesh has even heard of us.
Okay.
so that's you know, just to be transparent over here. Now, Nefesh B'Nefesh, from my understanding, they help with the bureaucratic aspects of getting you to Israel. They deal with the paperwork and they get you on a plane. And they make sure you're set in that respect. Now the question is, what do I do once I'm off the plane? Where do I go from there?
Right.
That's where we come in. That's where our relationships with vendors in Israel come in.
So who are those vendors and what are you doing to help facilitate those relationships?
Yeah, so like one concierge program, a company who we work with, and we had a webinar with them as Olim Advisors. You know, that's one.
Okay. And what do they do?
They help you get settled in. They help you with your find communities, you know, getting settled in with schools, getting you settled in with how to read your phone bill, your electrical bill, setting up your Wi-Fi. They, you know, showing you around the area a little bit. That you know, that's where they come in.
All right. And I know that you have a relationship with the Aliyah Network. So what's the Aliyah Network and what is your relationship with them?
Yeah. So the Aliyah Network was founded by David Eskenazi and his wife, Marcy.
Okay.
They started this way before COVID. And they have a network of vendors who, you know, who I tap into.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who actually ignited this flame in me where I want to start helping people make Aliyah in the way that I can and in my realm. So we've been working closely together, and David Eskenazi is a very good friend of me, and he learned in the same yeshiva that I had many years ago. And
okay. You know, And what is it that they do?
They help. It's a good question. I don't really exactly know the particulars, but they do have vendors in place as well.
Oh, so they're another organization that connects to yeah. Various vendors to help people in their Aliyah process.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last one that I want to ask you about is the Jewish Agency.
Yeah. The Jewish Agency. They also do behind the scenes bureaucratic aspects, but not exclusive to the UK and America.
Okay.
They also deal with for other countries as well. I think they have like some sort of agreement with Nefesh B'Nefesh, where Nefesh B'Nefesh handles the UK and America, and the Jewish Agency. I think they do a little bit of that. Or they do other aspects within the bureaucratic of it, but Nefesh B'Nefesh does not handle, I think the rest of the world, like France, I don't know, Russia. I think the Jewish Agency handles more of those countries, more All in right. detail. It's very complicated. I'm still learning.
That's fine.
Everything and
so let's ask it this way. Let's go the reverse way. What aspects of the Aliyah process are you not involved in that you and the other organizations that you partner with? What is it something that Olim are going to have to take care of either on themselves or find a different vendor to help them out?
The bureaucratic aspects, getting them in touch with a Nefesh B'Nefesh advisor. Or the Jewish Agency advisor, getting them a flight to Israel. I could guide them. I could guide them.
Right.
However, I practically have no way of helping them in the best way I can.
Interesting. Okay. And is there a difference between the way that you handle clients that are, let's say, just buying a house or an apartment now in Israel, and then they'll rent it out now and then maybe move later, or they're living part-time in Israel? Is there a difference? Because those types of people aren't selling their homes. They're just looking for a home to purchase in Israel. So they're not necessarily moving out of theirs, and that's not something that you're going to be doing here. So what do you do with those types of clients?
Meaning if they want to just find an investment property there and they don't want to sell
or
their home.
An investment property there, or they're buying in Israel and they're not selling here.
No, there's no difference. I mean, in terms of baggage, yeah, there's less baggage, on what we handle. But we, if we want to set them up with an agent who can help assist their needs in purchasing a home or investment property, they would contact them, and we would make sure that everything's going smoothly between that agent and our client. We are essentially the buffer between our clients and the agents in Israel and anyone else that we work with. We monitor and coordinate the transaction.
Right. So that's, we went through where you are now. What is the future growth possibilities for Aliyah Homes? Like, where do you guys want to get to? I'm assuming you're still in a startup mode. In the last couple of months since we've started speaking, the business model has either evolved or grown. So what is the eventual goal? What are you guys looking to be able to accomplish?
Oh, that's a fun question, because this is where my mind is, there's no boundaries here. I see a path where we can help people make Aliyah from all over the world. The Jewish agency is expecting 250,000 Jews making Aliyah between 3 to 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. To give you an idea of how big that number is, we've had 250,000 Jews making Aliyah from the decade of 2010 to 2019.
Wow. So we're looking at exponential growth. Okay.
Exponential growth, exactly. And if we can handle and be really do very well with the American model, mm-hmm. Our goal is to use that model in other countries and see if it'll work there. And if it doesn't, we will determine what that reason is, and we're going to find it, and we're going to partner up with anyone who can facilitate our vision. Because like I said, KW, Keller Williams, is giving us this fantastic opportunity. And if we're in 50 other regions, me as a Jew, I feel a very big obligation to help anyone I can make Aliyah in a smooth way as possible. And if I don't do that, I'm depriving the Jewish population from access to that. And that's something I personally cannot live with.
That is a noble goal. Before we sign off, is there anything else you'd like to let us know about?
Yeah, I guess, we are working on a website. We do have a Facebook page, Aliyah Homes. And if anyone who's listening, if they want to, I guess, contact us, I guess they can definitely feel free to reach out. And if there's any vendors who are listening, please feel free to reach out. We're always looking to connect with people who can help facilitate the Aliyah process. And anyone who has advice or their own personal experience that can help us with new ideas that can help the Aliyah process as well, we're looking for feedback and positive, constructive criticism as well in doing that.
I'm going to ask you one question out of curiosity, which isn't necessarily related to your business model. I'm just curious. Throughout COVID, have you seen an uptick in people reaching out to you guys to make Aliyah? And has the recent, this has only been going on for about 2 weeks since we've started, since at the time of recording, but the unrest in Israel, has that tampered down things?
I love that you asked that question, especially the second half of the question, because when we ran our webinar with Olim Advisors, we had around 240 people register.
Okay.
150 of them were from America. And when I was calling them, during COVID, they're like, we need to go to Israel. I mean, there are really three reasons why people are moving to Israel. One is anti-Semitism, COVID, because they feel that they want to be, they have grandchildren in Israel and or children, and they don't want to feel restriction and not being able to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And two is because for religious purposes, it's our country. We belong there. We want to retire there and live the rest of our lives there. Now, with what's happening now in Israel, with these terrorist attacks and the uprising and what's going on in Israel, you would think that people do not want to go to Israel, but I've been hearing the exact opposite. They feel an obligation, a sense of unification with their people, and in fact, that's wanting them to go. They're wanting to go to Israel even more. I mean, it's a sense of, it's like a nationalistic a reason, and I admire that. I love that. That's exactly what I want to hear from my clients.
All right, that's awesome. All right, so you mentioned your Facebook page. You have anything else, any other social media that you guys have right now?
Yeah, we do have Instagram. We're not active on that yet. Okay. It's funny, I'm 26, turning 27. That's more of like, you know, people who are in their 20s, early 20s. It's a generational thing. But we are working on that. And my partner and I, we're working on a YouTube channel as well. We're going to be calling it Tips and Tricks in Making Aliyah.
Okay.
And
how can people reach out to you guys if they want to learn more?
Yeah, they can email us at aliyahhomes@gmail.com.
You want to spell that out?
aliyahhomes@gmail.com. Or they can give me a call on my cell phone, which is 212-470-6888.
All right. So Ariel, thank you so much for joining us this week. And good luck to you and Aliyah Homes.
Thank you very much, Izo. I really do appreciate and definitely feel great in having this honor and being on your podcast.
All right. Terrific. My thanks to Ariel Rahmana for joining me this week. Obviously, moving is a big deal, especially moving to a different country, and we hope that this episode helps a little when making that decision. If you want to hear another episode about making Aliyah from a family who did so and documented their entire journey, check out episode 2, Making Aliyah, an Insider's Guide, with Eli and Dina Kamiansky. Until next time, Kol Tov.
The Jewish Living Podcast is produced by Sreli Pikus. Our theme song is The Band by A.B. Rottenberg. Follow us on Facebook at The Jewish Living Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at Jewish_living. You can also email the show at jewishlivingpodcast@gmail.com. The Jewish Living Podcast is recorded in conjunction with the Queens Jewish Link.